like to welcome everyone to the January business meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. As is our custom, we will begin with public comment. We do have our normal business agenda in front of us, and then we have a time-specific 5 p.m. Meeting on the Route 29 corridor study. We will begin that promptly at 5, so we need to be done before then. That will allow members of the General Assembly to come over and join us. At this time, I'd like to ask, is there anyone from the public who would like to address the board? Quiet look. Going once. Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Under Asset Management Division, action item one, there are abandonments in the Lynchburg District.
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item two is a bridge designation for Route 724 over Wolf Creek as the Jarrett Lee Lane Memorial Bridge. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3A is recreational access grant for Gloucester County.
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3B is a recreational access grant for Henry County. Is there a motion?
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 4 is an economic development access program grant for Frederick County.
Move approval, Mr. Chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Under right-of-way and utilities.
One of the board members had asked me to talk about enhancement. Would you like me to come back at the end of the action?
About which, Tim?
There's an enhancement handout.
We'll do that under new business.
Okay.
That's okay. Action item 5A, and Mr. Waymack is here to answer any questions. Welcome, Mr. Waymack. Route 19 in Russell County. Is there a motion?
Approval. Chairman, is that located in front of the Walmart section?
I believe it is, yes, sir.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 5B is Interstate 295 in Hanover County. Is there a motion?
Sorry, what was that one, Mr. Chairman?
Action item 5B, which is a conveyance on Interstate 295 in Hanover County.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 5C is Route 649 in Albemarle County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 5D in Sussex County, Interstate 95, 301, and 631, renumbering.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6 is a series of limited access. I believe we have one substitute for item 6C, so that's in pink at your places. Action item 6A is Route 37. Of the Jubal Early Interchange and Route 621 in Frederick County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6B in Mecklenburg County, Route 15 and 58, the Clarksville Bypass.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 6C, there is a substitute for Route 291 in the city of Lynchburg.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Waymack.
Thank
wonderful
you, Mr.
presentation.
Chairman.
Good job.
Action item 7 is the programming decision. These are the monthly transfers. And Ms. Mitchell is here to answer any questions. Are there any questions of Ms. Mitchell on the transfers?
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 8 is the scheduling division. We do see Mr. Coburn here. Let's see if we can get to this item. Are all the pages being replaced? Okay, so this looks like a good month.
This is a very good month, sir.
Excellent.
In general, we're seeing some new bidders entering the market. particularly on some of our smaller roadway projects. Firms who have been pre-qualified for a long time but have been typically doing private work and site development are starting to bid on some of our work, and we've seen 10, 12 bidders on some of our projects.
Gee, really?
Before I get started, there's some pink sheets there. Those are some late additions. There are several projects that you'll see today that are local assistance developed by others, presented for you, and a late 95 project that was, bids came in on January 9th, and we just finished analyzing those with programming division, et cetera, to present to you today. In general, sir, on December 19th, we took in 41 projects. Of those, eight were over $2 million. And if we start with that on page one.
Okay, let's take the Montgomery County Superstructure Repairs. Is that action item one?
Yes, sir. First project is, as you indicated, is a bridge repair project over the Norfolk Southern Railway. Two bidders received. Lanford Brothers is the low bidder. And this was a very good project, a very good bid. We recommend it's approved.
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next item on that page is the Glenside Ramp over 64 in Henrico County for bridge repair.
It's a bridge repair and painting, and this project attracted four bidders as well. And painting projects typically have not been getting as much interest in the past. Again, very good bid, and we recommend it's approved.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question on that, please? Bridge repair and painting was, what, was how much less than what we had estimated?
The funds that the district had allocated for this work, this maintenance-funded work, was $3,800,000. Of that, the estimate was $3 million for the contract portion alone, the amount that we would be paying the contractor. The contractor's bid in this case was $2,518,000.
I ask that question because I know that the maintenance that we've been looking at, it's been quite expensive, and that's why I ask a question on that. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Page two, in Accomack County.
This is a break and seat project and overlay, a little over 2.5 miles. Only one bidder was in that area, and typically we get a low number because of the isolation and the difficulty in servicing that area. However, in looking at the project as it is there, we believe it's an appropriate value. Don't believe additional bidders will be attracted or will receive appropriate any adjustments in re-advertising, and recommend its award.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to abstain on that one, please. I'm sorry?
Is there a reason?
This successful bidder is on my board. Don't think there's any conflict there, but just in case, to be safe.
Thank you, appreciate that.
The next project is on Route 58 in Southampton County, 2.25 mile of rehabilitation. We did attract three bidders on this project. BP Short and Son out of Petersburg was the low bidder. Believe it's a very good project and recommend its award.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page three, Culpeper County.
This project is an intersection improvement, widening from 2 to 4 lanes. It is construction funded along Route 15. You'll notice that we received 12 bids of interest on this project. The firm, low bidder Tavares Concrete, is very familiar with this type of work. and gave us a good bid, very stable prices, and we recommend its approval.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's a huge reduction.
Some overlay in Loudoun County.
The Superior Paving is the low bidder of three that bid on this plant mix overlay and guardrail. This is one of the federalized plant mix projects that you mentioned, that you recognized earlier in the workshop with the teams that the commissioner presented. A good value and recommend its approval.
Move its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next one on that page is Brunswick County Asphalt Paving and Guardrail.
This is a similar project, federalized maintenance project. Only one bidder, however, got real good prices on this one and recommend its approval.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Coburn, is there, as you look at these federalized maintenance contracts, and not to get into your internal estimating, but do you plus things up due to the federalization of the project? Is that quantifiable?
We look at that because the part of the federalization requires us to look at all of the elements within the limits of the project, particularly the safety features, and to make sure that they are currently up to today's standards, which in many cases requires us to look at either the entire length of the guardrails or the guardrail in sections, the terminal in sections, to make sure they're appropriately appropriate safety devices, breakaway signs, sign structures, and look at other fixed objects and fixed hazards within that termini. So it makes it difficult to compare with previous plant mix contracts that would have been in that same area because there are different parameters.
Page 5, Northern Virginia District Slurry Seal.
This is a standard slurry seal schedule for the Northern Virginia District. Only one bidder was received. We believe it's appropriate value. We've looked at several items within that and don't believe that they will overrun, so we are recommending this approval.
Move its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page 6, City of Hampton.
This is Mayor Shepherd Boulevard. City of Hampton project that was advertised, developed, and advertised through their Hampton Roads, the City of Hampton, excuse me. They did receive six bidders on this project. Staff has looked at the bids, and we believe it's an appropriate value and recommend its approval.
Move approval.
Second.
Abstain.
For the same reason.
Same reason.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Page 7, in the City of Alexandria.
City of Alexandria project design build. This is the Dash less maintenance project. Four bidders were received. It's a very large dollar value, and these are units, individual task units, built location by location. We look at that, and we believe that it's an appropriate value and recommend its approval.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Mr. Chairman, is this the first example of where we flex funds to support a transit capital facility?
I believe we've done this several past projects. Perhaps 18 months ago, we had a Dash project, a smaller value.
What's it about? This one? Do you see it on your
Perhaps, Mr. Tucker,
I think it is the first time. We have the general manager, Sandy Modell, and the project manager in the back, and they could really speak to that.
I'm looking for Stanton.
Mr. Chairman, what's Dash?
Dash is the Alexandria City bus system.
I think I have it either.
I'm Jeremy McPike. I'm the Division Chief of Capital Projects for the City of Alexandria. This is the first time the City of Alexandria selected to flex some of those funds over for the $35 million project. And then Sandy Modell's here, she's been involved in longer term in terms of providing some of the innovation. This is also our first design build project, and it's provided a significant value to our selection and our team.
And the DAS stands for Driving Alexandrians Safely Home.
Very good.
And we're very excited about this, and we're very excited that the state approves this, that the city was able to do this, basically take projects that were not going forward at the time and be able to flex the funding for this facility. Because I don't think without the funding that the state's providing under the state urban funds that this project would be where it is today. So thank you.
Thank you. Good luck and congratulations.
Do we vote on that?
Could I ask how many years you've been accumulating the money?
I'd say about 4 years ago is when they looked over all the list of projects and prioritized the ones that needed to go forward and the other ones that were either on the back burner, maybe not going to happen or not happening at that time. So 4 years ago they looked at their list of projects and there was funding. It was just a couple of years worth of projects, but they were pretty significant projects that either were put on hold or they had, for example, the Monterey Avenue Bridge project. The developer picked up the $15 million that was laid out for that. So that was money that was then freed up for our facility.
One other observation, Mr. Chairman. This type of flexing was actually one of the recommendations of the 2025 plan, so we can put another check mark on that.
Okay, great. Page 8.
Thank you.
Which is management and performance of routine, ordinary, and preventive maintenance on right-of-way assets for 5 years with two-year renewals. This is the Stanton TAMS contract, if I understand this correct.
That's correct, sir. This is the TAMS contract identified as the southern portion. It includes a portion of 81 as well as a portion of Interstate 64 in the Stanton district. This is the same package contract as you've seen recently in other sections of the interstate. The project was advertised. We received bids. The asset management folks have gone through the analysis, and we've looked at some of that analysis and believe it's an appropriate bid and recommend its approval.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval. What was the total cost of that? My book didn't show.
Yeah.
Jake?
Yes.
The cost, the total bid cost.
The total term cost is 27. The negotiated amount is $27 million for 5 years.
I'll second that motion. Mr. Chairman, if you need a second, I do have a question about it, though. Mm-hmm. Byron, by what standard or benchmark is this bid measured? You know, we're used to seeing a number up here that compares the bid amount you're recommending with the amount that's been allocated.
I can answer part of that and then reference Mr. Porter for the remainder, but the cost of VDOT performing that work and all the associated risk in that, we develop an estimate through asset management to look at those expenditures in that term. Those items of work that we are contracting and look at that. There are those elements of work that we still retain the ability to perform in that area. So that contract's bid on, and that's the basic comparison. In this case, those bids, after they were analyzed, we entered a negotiation to reach that lower cost at $27 million. I don't know if there's other questions in that comparison without getting into the...
Yeah, and the numbers that you're comparing to are confidential, I suppose. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, just doing a little simple arithmetic, it looks like this project will be large enough that it would have to come back to the CTB for approval for each of the renewals. Is that true?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
So this company, assuming that, and you have metrics for how they're doing over the next 5 years that you all apply, and we'll see that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, because we've had this discussion a couple of times before, but it sounds like it'll be at least $5.5 million or so per year, the next two-year renewal, 5 years from now. And that's why I'm asking, and you have to bring that back.
And I believe the metrics have been standardized over all of the TAMS, all of the new TAMS contracts that are in place.
Right, and that's up for the professionals to monitor and keep track of.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to get in the middle of that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there a motion?
Yes.
Seconded? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Page nine, Hampton Roads TAMS contract, and again, this is more interstate maintenance, correct?
Exactly. Same type of structure. You see the listing of interstate routes and state routes that this covers, facilities that are there. Again, we had interest from four firms bidding on this work. This is a very good bid, and we recommend it's approved.
Move for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a page nine. Not that that would change what I was doing, but
I could just trust this.
thought I should see it.
Could I have a copy of eight for you there? Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Seven.
You're right. No, you're six.
No, fine.
When one is voting on $32 million, it is always a good idea to have the right piece of paper in front of you. Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Turning to pink sheets, page 10, the John Rolfe Parkway in Henrico County.
This is a locally managed and developed contract by Henrico County. Mr. Foster from the county is here if we have any detailed questions. They did receive these bids back in October, I believe, and have gone through an analyzation period. The department has reviewed those bids as well, and our recommended is approval.
As you can see, Mr. Chairman, they've got a pretty good deal struck here on this one, so I'm happy to recommend it and move it for approval.
How is that possible?
Yeah, is it too good to be true?
It's the district. I mean, you know.
We'll spend what's left somewhere else.
Right.
Frankly, that's one of the reasons that we've taken a very close look at all the elements of the proposal, all the pricing in that time process.
So it's fair to say, Mr. Coburn, that your staff looks at bids being extraordinarily over estimates as well as those being extraordinarily under, because you don't want to get stuck with claims.
Yes, and we look at, as does the county in this case, look at, are there some gotchas out there that are in the contract that we need? Is there a loophole we need to address?
They may have enough to do phase two with the spillover from this one.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Page 11, City of Alexandria, some interchange improvements at Telegraph Road.
Now, this is serious.
Everybody got a piece of paper in front of them?
That's not a typo, is it?
This project is the Telegraph Road interchange phase, the Woodrow Wilson complex of projects, if you will. This represents, I believe, the largest design bid build contract we've put on the street and have accepted bids on. You see, we received bids from four different firms. This firm is a joint venture of Corman Construction and Peter Kiewit. We've gone through a very detailed analysis. This project was on the street for, I believe, 4 months. Going through the advertisement, there were a number of major questions by different firms bidding during that life of that advertisement that project staff, our office responded to. We believe this is an appropriate bid and recommend that that you folks award this.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to emphasize the importance of this project and continuing the Woodrow Wilson Bridge and making that whole the whole system there work. It is a large number, but you don't get to vote for the largest in CTB history very often, so enjoy this. I move that we accept this bid.
Second.
Any discussion?
Perhaps Byron could, it says interchange improvement. I mean, this is, maybe that's an understatement.
this is the total northern extension of the Woodrow Wilson Bridge improvements that now go across, if you're coming from Maryland and Virginia, right now the limits are of construction are the bridge and the Route 1 interchange. This picks up at the Route 1 interchange to the next interchange, which is Telegraph Road, and actually goes a little bit further beyond to the Eisenhower Avenue connector, where there will also be some major reconstruction, and it will make it into, I believe, a 12-lane profile, if
I believe so, yes.
Remember correctly. Mm-hmm. All right, there's a motion. Is that
big
helpful?
Deal.
With gold leaf.
No gold leaf.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This is a very major project, and its fixed completion date is June 30th of 2013. So it's a multi-year, multi-phased projects. Thank you.
Okay. Page 12 is the 95 Fourth Lane project in Fairfax County.
This is another rather major project in the Northern Virginia area. Also had advertisement for multiple months, and we just took this project in on January the 9th. In fact, this project, we just completed our analysis in the last couple of days, and this is one that the programming division and our staff worked very diligently to be able to bring this to you. This is a good bid. It is another large project and a multi-year project, and we recommend it's approved to you.
Mr. Chairman, it is one of the major improvements on 95 South that needs to happen, and I noticed that you've got a very ambitious completion date too of 2011, which is essential to things like the BRAC movement and a lot of other things. So I move the approval of this bill.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you very much.
That was kind of a breathless day, Mr. Coburn. You didn't give us any advance notice.
Yeah, what was the total of what we spent?
You don't want
please, it's okay.
We don't have
any more money. It's close to half a billion, I think.
Thanks, Ms. Coburn. Under new business, I know that the commissioner has some new business, and there may be others as well, but I would like to recognize the commissioner.
Thank you. As you know, I have two items of new business for you today. As you know, yesterday there was considerable activity around the National Bridge picture. That coincidentally came along with a request I had made of our bridge division and Mr. Wallace's preparation of what I anticipate to be a quarterly status report on the bridge picture in the Commonwealth, focusing at structurally deficient bridges, the numbers thereof, posted bridges, and so I've got as a handout for the board members that first package or the first report to me, and I believe Carol's handing it around now. I'd ask Mr. Wallace and Mr. Curley to come forward because I know there are questions about NTSB findings, but I did want to highlight the statistics for all systems. And what I've done by district, what I've asked for is by district, by system, on a quarterly basis, a status on the interstate primary and secondary systems, those bridges that are closed, those bridges that are structurally deficient, and then of those bridges that are structurally deficient, which ones are posted, because a structurally deficient bridge does not necessarily require posting, but it is an additional indicator of what the condition of that structurally deficient bridge is. And as you recall from the first round of bridge discussions we had, the two key pieces that I look at are structurally deficient and functionally obsolete. As you recall, functionally obsolete deals with geometrics and whether a bridge in its geometrics would meet today's standards if it were built today compared to when it was built, say, 50 years ago. So that's one dimension of a bridge. But structural deficiency is the piece we look at. Today, across all systems and districts, we have 41 bridges that are closed. We have when you add up all the numbers, of 1,743 bridges across the Commonwealth on all systems that are considered structurally deficient. And of those, 727 are currently load posted. So what that tells you is that as we develop succeeding programs, as we're working with you now, and our focus is on bridges as directed by the CTB, those are the family of bridges that we're looking at first. You will also notice that a significant portion of the structurally deficient bridges rely on the secondary system. Our business plan and my discussions with the district administrators have been to find cost-effective solutions to resolve those secondary bridge problems, particularly for bridges at 60 feet or less in length. We've got a couple of pilot programs going on across the Commonwealth that I think show real promise in making a serious dent, a very cost-effective serious dent in those secondary structurally deficient bridges. So that's my high-level snapshot overview. Now, to the events of yesterday and the initial findings by NTSB, if any of you read USA Today this morning, you saw our chief engineer quoted extensively again. So I've asked him to be available and kind of recap what the NTSB really said and what FHWA's latest guidance is in English, so that you'll feel comfortable with it. Mr. Curley and Mr. Wallace, are there any questions on the first piece on the status report? Does this start to keep you feeling like you've got a handle on where we stand on closed and posted bridges?
Good information. You know, the last time we talked about this, we had a great schedule on all these bridges that we had and the ages and replacement during the last 10 years, and I think as we're sitting there extrapolating, it's going to take us 167 years to replace all the bridges in Virginia. How do we connect the dots between that and this report and what we're scheduled to repair? And I'm not expecting to be able to answer that. I guess my point is good information, but in the comfort I'm looking for that we're on track and we're going to accomplish everything, this is reactive, and appropriately so, but we're not going to get ahead of this power curve unless we get proactive.
Mr. Secretary, perfect question. In my ideal world, I would have given you this first. Then I would have said, here is the investment that we're making to reduce structurally deficient bridges. We're currently hovering around 8% at structurally deficient of the total system. And then I would have had a discussion with you about the investment that it takes to drop the 8% to 6%. And in my ideal world, that's the discussion we'll be having as we move forward, because that will allow you to set true priorities for us in our performance management system as I envision it working as we go beyond on time, on budget. So I really appreciate the question. It was a perfect question. And I think I answered it right?
Yes, sir, you did, exactly. Right now, the districts pretty much, they develop their own preventive maintenance plan, rehabilitation plan, and a construction program. So I've got 9 districts doing it their way, and I'm in the process right now of bringing this into a statewide umbrella so that I can answer that question.
Mr. Coulomb had a question.
Mr. Chairman, you can't help but notice, obviously, by district, the total numbers of bridges that are in each of these categories. But also, it sticks out to me just how big the numbers are in the secondary system. My question is the current structure and formulas that we use to allocate funds acting as a straitjacket that doesn't let us get at this largest part of the problem here in the secondary system?
Yes.
And should we be considering some alternative initiative that really goes to the heart of some of this?
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Coulomb, I think that's an absolutely excellent question. And the answer to the question is yes and no. Very correctly, our mindset has been that the allocation of funding to secondary systems through the construction program has limited our ability to attack a bridge problem on a secondary system. Secondarily, in my first few months here, I sat down with the staff and I asked 2 questions. Does a project know the difference, whether it's a maintenance project or a construction project? And the answer is no. The second piece question I asked is there a restriction that prohibits me from using maintenance dollars on the secondary system for critical bridge rehabilitation, because that is maintenance work? And the answer was, to my knowledge, no, there is no restriction. So I've had the conversation with the district administrators that as they look at their program and maintenance dollar uses, to be able, and that's why I targeted on that short bridge replacement or rehabilitation program using maintenance dollars. Cost effective, lots of different ways to get it done, and we can start to make a dent in it. Does it solve the long-term structural problem of allocation? No, it does not. But it is a workaround.
Mr. Chairman, I've never been a fan of trickle-down economics. Earlier in our history, another political observer described it as leak-through economics. And I have to say that this is probably as good an example as any of why leaking through won't actually get us where we want to go. And I'd like to just say to you and my colleagues, I really think we need to put the pencil to paper here and use this as a problem that is in the public eye at the moment, to look at how we can respond much more dynamically to what's to our mission. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Curley, would you like to speak? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, I just wanted to reiterate what my colleague just said about the severity of the issue and how we do need a more innovative way to figure out how to deal with it. But could you also explain what are the 2 closed interstate? I assume they're part of a construction or reconstruction or under.
I can answer. Well, the bottom, the asterisks indicate the 2 structures.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the asterisk.
Yeah, and the bottom structure is right outside of, as you're going up north on 95.
As you come south on 95.
It was, pardon, sir?
When you come south on 95,
yeah, it's in the median, yeah. And we actually built the, it's like an HOV lane, we actually built the structure, temporarily moved traffic over there, and then we moved it back as we reconstructed the main line on the northbound lane.
Right, so, but that's not, I mean, it's not closed because of structural reasons.
That's correct. It's not from a structural standpoint, it's just that it's going to be used in the future.
And the second one? Wait a minute, temporarily, okay. It makes us look more derelict than is actually the case.
And there's a couple other structures, not on the interstate, but like the Smart Highway facility. We have 3 bridges there that aren't open to the public, but they are considered to be closed. They're brand new structures.
Mr. McCarthy. What is the number that qualifies you to get on the structurally deficient list? Is that like 5 or less or
it's
something?
It's a general condition rating of 4 or less.
Four or less. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I can't help but notice that the Jim and Dana and myself along the I-81 corridor have almost 600 of those structures, and it was part of the reason that we started talking about a resolution of trying to find a way to get a focus on the I-81 corridor, not I-81 itself, but the corridor, because there is so much unmet need in the area. This was definitely one of the factors that caused me to keep raising that question about a solution for looking at the I-81 corridor.
Okay. Mr. Curley, could you give us a brief recap of the events of yesterday?
Yes, sir. Yesterday at 1:30, the National Transportation Safety Board came out with an interim report, not the final report, and they did not specifically say why the bridge in Minnesota fell. But during their review, they found something they felt was important enough to issue an interim report. The first thing you need to realize, it's an interim report. They have not issued the final ruling of why it failed. Second thing is, I think so far, things such as the bridge safety inspection program, they have not seen a problem with that. The design criteria that was used in 1967, they didn't have a problem in that. What they felt is that there was a, in the design procedure, in other words, there was a design error used. There was 116 nodes or 232 gusset plates on that bridge. Eight nodes or 16 of that 232, they noticed concerns in there or failures in those eight. And when they went back and did some calculations based on the code in 1967, those 16 gusset plates were undersized. They should have been 1 inch, and they were 1/2 inch. So they wanted to, you have to also understand, this particular bridge went through two modifications of where the original dead load on the structure for what it was designed for along with the live load was changed. They added a median, they redecked the bridge, they had a six and a half inch deck, and they put a 8.5 inch deck in there. So what they wanted to do is alert the bridge community to ensure that when you are doing ratings or doing modifications to existing bridges, that you would make sure you look at the gusset plates. Gusset plates are normally robustly designed, so they're much stronger than the members they're connecting. But in this instance, for whatever reason, they were under-designed. So yesterday evening, we received from the Federal Highway Administration what they call a technical advisory that took under consideration what the National Transportation Safety Board came out with. There are three recommendations, and the first one has to do with new or replaced non-load path redundant steel truss bridges. And it just says to make sure and strongly encourage bridge owners to check the capacity of the gusset plates along with the initial loading. In other words, make sure that you check the gusset plates, which may be in some instance considered a secondary member, not a prime member. The second thing that they recommended was for future recalculations of load capacity on existing non-load path redundant steel bridges. In other words, if you change the condition of dead loads, that would make the increase stresses or structural modification, make sure you check the gusset plates to ensure that they can handle the load. And the last one was basically say on any previous bridges that you had made some changes on in the past, that you may want to go back and look at those to make sure that the gusset plates have been looked at and are satisfactory for the loads you're putting on there. Ken Wallace has already been in contact with Claude Napier. I talked to Claude. Claude is the Federal Highway Bridge Engineer for Virginia. There's 171 trusses in the state. that we're going to, what we're going to do is what we did last time. We're going to work very closely with our federal partners. Ken and his staff will get with Claude and Rudy and look at our inventory. And then once they decide what we need to do, then we're going to direct staff to go out and do any inspections or recalculations that we need to do. A lot of this probably can be done through office work, from pulling plans to see what's out there, and then some field verification of what we think. So right now, that's the interim report, and there'll probably be about another 6 months or so before the final report. So they have not issued the final report of what they have.
Cool, man. Mr. Chairman, Mal, from the sketches I've seen of this type of bridge, it appears that these can be inspected visually. Is that right? In other words, they're
yes.
They are sort of in plain view. Okay.
One of the reasons from the inspection viewpoint is the inspectors looked at them and visually they were all okay. There was no cracks in it or anything, and the corrosion wasn't a concern. It's just that they weren't inspecting if it was 1 inch or 1.5 inches or questioning what was on the plans at the time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for that. Second item of new business I have for the board, Carol has distributed to you a package of letters and memorandum dealing with the I-81 improvements that were originally envisioned as a part of the KBR activities that we had going on. The core paragraph in this letter that I signed off on yesterday is in the second paragraph. Following a careful review with the staff and looking at the possibility of future assignments, a recommendation that I received from the chief engineer, I've directed the department to terminate activities related to the PPTA procurement of improvements on the I-81 corridor. In addition, I've asked the staff to move forward with a design build concept for the improvements that have been already previously approved and programmed by the board. So on the one hand, I want to make sure that everyone is clear that we are proceeding with the direction established by the board, and we have, after careful consideration, made the decision to do it through a design build process and competitive design build procurement. And I'll ask Mr. Curley to comment and answer questions that the board may have. Mr. Martin.
Reading, actually going to the third paragraph, I am correct that we've really lost nothing. I'm just thinking in terms of the I-81 coalition here. We still have our money. We still are going to get the safety improvements on the truck climbing lanes. It's just a matter of who's going to do it, and with design build, we're not even going to have a delay in getting a contractor.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Martin, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just add that I really believe this is a very positive step, and it'll be very well received by the broader public.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I appreciate it.
Okay. Any other items under new business?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, it was alluded to in Mr. Davis's remarks, but the alarming news that we did go over the 1,000 deaths this year in Virginia is, I think, an enormously sad situation. It's one that I think we're all concerned about. And I remember at the conference in Roanoke, I heard a statistical number about how many were teens, particularly in Fairfax County. I remember it was a startling number of young people. And I'm just wanting to be sure that we are keeping this on our top priority and that we can put our heads together. It's a very difficult topic to deal with, I'm sure, but I just want to be sure it remains on the forefront of our efforts. I don't know, it just bothers me so much that so many young, you know, people with all the promise of their lives ahead of them are
so their lives are so abruptly ended, and I just concerned about that number.
Does that number also include an unusually high, if not a record number, of motorcycle deaths?
Mr. McCarthy, that the largest single category of increase was motorcycles, went from about 67 to about 120. If you're looking at the year before, it was pedestrian and bicycle. So in every, you know, you have to wait and see if that's a long-term trend or not. One thing we are encouraging, if you know anyone who is purchasing a motorcycle, to make sure they go through a safety and training course with the motorcycle they purchased. One of the things that we found are people train and learn on a fairly small motorcycle and then go out and get a very large one. They're very popular. Some of the folks are middle-aged and getting on a motorcycle for the first time without proper training. And most of these motorcycle accidents don't involve another car or another motorcycle. It's simply somebody losing control of a very large and very powerful piece of machinery.
At our Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel Commission meeting this month, the chief reported on the record for last year of speeding through radar on that facility. It was 136 miles an hour through radar motorcycle.
Wow.
Yeah, so people that are willing to drive that crazy.
Ms. Connolly, thank you for that reminder. That is our number one priority, and all of us in our personal lives can do things to help. Anything else under new business?
Mr. Estes?
If not, we are adjourned.
Wait a minute, Mr. Estes.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Estes.
No, Mr. Estes.
Oh, yeah.
Under new business. We are not finished with new business.
The board will have me. I will make it short, sir. I just wanted to let everyone know, somebody had asked me some questions about whether but when the enhancement scores, if Byron shows up with a half a billion, I bring 20 million. So not quite as much to go around, but still a little more interesting sometimes. We do have the scores from our teams of folks. We have those in front of you broken up by district. I will ask if you can look at the schedule. We're looking for some feedback from the district members first in early February. Then we'll schedule a meeting with the at-large members to do kind of our normal process of us. Directly otherwise by the chairman here. I did want to highlight that, you know, again, it's another banner year for participation, but we do have a little bit more money this year. But on the right side of the folder when you open it up, please pay particular attention for the district board members, some fairly aggressive moves that we're making to get some of the old projects off the books. There's some deallocation money on projects that have been completed or we've aggressively pursued with the sponsors and they have canceled their desires to move forward with those projects. So that'll be a little bit more money that we'll be asking the district members to look at this year. There's a second list behind that of ones that aren't quite as clean cut as that first round that potentially we would be like to talk to you about deallocating those projects if we don't hear a good response back from those sponsors. And they will be contacting you. We've tried to do a good job of copying the district members on any letters that we've sent out to those sponsors, letting them know that the time limit is either near completion or has already passed on the board's policy of spending this money with them again 4 years of when you allocate it. But after you look at that as well,
Mike, then they won't be surprised when we contact them to say, we're going to deallocate it.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Davis, everyone on that list, I believe, has seen a letter from us letting them know that we're kind of knocking on the door, but we are looking toward you guys for that confirmation on which way to go.
Okay. Mr. Estes, will you be here? I'm sure there'll be some questions from folks filing out the door here. I think that will be time well spent.
Absolutely.
All right, anything else under new business? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned.